Slate.
Okay. Slate, to sync the audio with the non-video that's happening right now.
Yes, a man who knows his film history. Everyone, welcome to Shut Up Laugh. My name is Anita Boyer.
And I am Kasia Klimuk.
And we are so excited and honored to be welcoming you to actually what will be the second episode, because we're going to do a little teaser episode. But fun fact, this is the first episode that we are recording, and we are sitting here with our very special guest, the one, the only, John Croft.
John Croft, howdy.
Tell us, John, tell us, how do you describe yourself? I hate asking, like, what do you do? But, like, tell us, like, a couple things that bring you joy.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been a really straightforward answer. I've always been, I'm an actor. But after, you know, now doing this director thing, I feel like I now have to embrace the multi-hyphenate of it, which is even just the word multi-hyphenate.
I love that word.
It makes me want to puke a little bit.
It's so, like, obnoxious, but also fun.
That you won't go to humiliate yourself.
Yeah, exactly. No, truly.
A line from God of Carnage, which is your inaugural, your debut of directing.
Yeah. So now I suppose I'm an actor-director.
Which means you can pick up the bill.
Yeah.
And you just say, hi, I'm John, I'm an actor. No one expects you to reach for the bill.
Yes,
you added directors at the end of that.
I know, but the unfortunate reality is that I liked directing so much. This is now going to need to be a part of my life, but I'm so much further along in my acting journey that I feel like getting a paycheck for being a director is, like, way behind the likelihood of my next likelihood to be paid to be an actor. So
you could do both.
Yeah.
Multi-hyphenate, you know?
We'll see. Yeah. I mean, I would love to act in a show and direct Eddie at the same time. That seems like it would be really
boy.
Fun.
I mean, we're talking about Edward Kassar, who is in God of Carnage. Directing Eddie, I mean, that's a full-time job in and of itself.
Yeah.
I don't know how you managed that. That is a feat. And the play is phenomenal. This is not going to come out in time for anyone for this to be a promotion for anyone to come and see it. But if you didn't go and see it, we hate you, and you missed a really
You really did. I haven't laughed and gahoffed and gasped so hard in a long time.
Gahoffed?
Is that a word?
Guffawed.
I don't know. Is it guffawed?
But I liked that you pronounced the wrong syllables, or rather, you said them in the wrong order.
English is my second language. I am a Polish American immigrant, so
that's
Are you
right.
really?
I am.
Oh my God, that's
immigrants.
Awesome.
We get the job done.
You. Oh, I wanted to say, though, being a director and an actor, Anita and I do it often in our theater company, and it is
10 out of 10, don't recommend.
So hard.
Oh, to do both at the same time.
Don't do both at the same
time.
Yeah,
no,
not for the same show. I mean, if you're working a gig as a director, great, and then a gig as an actor, great.
Right. Just not the same show, same time.
Yeah.
It's
a
lot.
You don't get to enjoy either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you don't have enough time for either, and you don't have that, like, outside eye because you're in it, and it's
So I
tough.
Maybe the most kind of, like, immediately flashy and impressive credit that I have is that I had a truly bit part. Like, I'm in one frame of Maestro.
I had
like a little small scene, but it got cut. but it, yeah, I'm in one frame of that movie. I had one full, really amazing day on set where I did actually play this little scene with Bradley Cooper. And I have to say, I have truly never been more talent struck by anybody than I was by watching him direct, play the lead part in a, you know, not a part where he's playing himself. He's doing a full character. He's doing a full voice. He's in a makeup chair for hours beforehand.
Wow.
Acting, directing, producing, making changes to the script that he co-wrote in real time.
While being the voice of Rocket. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
What are we even talking about this for? We just had a little man save us by blowing up 50 ships.
How little?
Yeah,
he's kinda magical. He's probably a genius.
He is magical. I was really impressed. And
although
I
have to say, our advice about not doing both pertains to live theater. I feel like it would be, I've never done this, but it feels like it would be more man. I mean, not to take anything away from Bradley Cooper, like, you're freaking awesome. Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But I feel like that would be a little bit more manageable because you get to go and watch it.
Yeah.
You can watch it.
Well,
you can't be in something and watch it.
It's also the opposite of theater, where as a director, it's truly the film is the director's medium, where when the actors have done their job, the director then takes the project and continues to work on it for another year or two in the edit room, and mm-hmm. you know, the director's
exactly,
work continues.
Yeah.
Whereas in theater, ideally at opening night, the director f***s off and the mm-hmm. actors get to continue. Can I swear on this?
Yes,
podcast?
This yeah. should be a podcast where we swear.
And if we need to bleep it, we'll bleep it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The
fine.
Director quietly and kindly leaves, and the actors, it becomes the actor's show. So yeah, I could definitely imagine that it would be much more awkward of like, oh, we've opened, and the person who's been giving me all of my tedious notes is now my scene partner, who I have to, like, you know, have a cohortly relationship with for the however many weeks of this run.
If you mess something up, you're going to get that look.
Yeah.
That's
oh,
really
God,
funny.
That does sound like a nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Now that we've burst your bubble and ruined your dreams, I have some questions for you. So,
no,
shut
please.
Up, laugh. As we develop this, our goal is really to just get to know people better and make each other laugh. So, I have created in the 3 seconds before we started recording a list of 10 questions that I believe will tell us everything that we need to know about you. Okay, everything that the whole entire world needs to know about our first ever guest, John Croft. First on this list, John, what brand of shampoo do you wear? Use?
Do you
wash?
Wear?
I don't know what I said wear. What brand of shampoo do you use?
Anita, I'm so delighted that you asked me this question, because I was
phenomenal hair. I mean, like, it had to be the first question.
It's definitely not a 3-in-1.
This, no.
You are not a 3-in-1.
No.
He's not a Head and Shoulders. There
or
is
like,
no
you know,
baby
the...
Blue.
What are the brands?
Axe.
But it's like a shampoo, a body wash.
Old Spice.
No.
So I'm dating someone new, and she actually, that was like one of the first things she commented on when she came over to my apartment, was like, you're not a 3-in-1 guy. Like, I'm impressed.
I mean, it's considered a red flag sometimes.
I guess so.
I mean, he's a multi-hyphenate, but not in the shower.
I was talking to her about this because I have a weird approach to like all toiletry brands. Like, I very much, you know, I was asking her, I was like, are you a brand loyalty person, or do you, every time you go to Duane Reade, like me, you get something completely different? Because I did that for years, still do that with all of my products except for my shampoo.
Oh my goodness.
Because I have found the perfect shampoo that I love dearly. And the kicker
is, we are
is,
accepting sponsorships
yes.
and underwriting. So
well, I was
going to
say,
really
this
excited.
Is the irony of this question, is that I discovered this perfect shampoo on a podcast.
Oh, my
How perfect.
I was listening not to plug another podcast, but I was listening to...
it's fine. We're about synergy here.
Yeah. I was listening to You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes.
Yes. I love Pete Holmes. Great comedian.
I love Pete Holmes. I was watching his most recent stand-up special for like the fourth time earlier today. I love his podcast, and he has this sponsor called Modern Mammals, which is a shampoo conditioner type thing that's really geared towards men, but anybody can use it. And his whole pitch for it was like, does your hair always look best when you haven't showered for 3 days? This is the shampoo for you, because, you know, shampoo like has all those chemicals that kind of strip your hair of like the good, healthy, natural oils.
Mm-hmm.
And those natural oils also like make your hair look good. So it's like they branded itself. It's Magic Mud. It kind of does look like gray dirt that you'd put on at like a spa or something. It doesn't smell. It doesn't smell
like
anything.
Dirt.
It's totally unscented, which is also weird. But I have to say, I use it and my hair feels very clean, and it feels like the best it's ever felt.
So you don't need to follow up with a conditioner.
No conditioner needed.
You don't have like bath time arguments like
shampoo is better. I go on first and clean the hair. Conditioner is better. I leave the hair silky and smooth.
Sorry.
I don't know what that was.
Are you being Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
Is that from Happy Gilmore?
No, it's from the other one. Oh my God, that I watched every...
Bad, but something with a B. I can't remember it right now.
Wow.
When he's the kid, right?
The brain death that is happening right now. Billy Madison. Oh
yes,
my God.
I knew it was a B. It was
me.
On my
I
brain.
I can't believe my brain did not allow me to access that. But I watched that movie every single morning in the summer between 6th and 7th grade. I woke up and I watched Billy Madison.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. I know. I don't know how I haven't been diagnosed with something. But anyway, let's get on to our second question.
Yes.
All right. When you're getting ready in the morning, what is the order in which you don your attire? I'm going to go first. I'm going to give you an example.
Oh.
I have to know what shirt. Well, first of all, I always wear a leotard and bike shorts. That is underneath every single outfit
Anita's
that I wear.
Uniform. You do. She's like a baby underneath.
I am just like Joe with his shorts. Exactly.
You guys have your own uniform.
We have uniforms. But I must know, after I put on my that first little baby layer, I have to pick out my shirt because I have to match my socks to my shirt. And then my shoes get matched to my socks. That's my example.
Yeah. That's a good question. My answer is boring. I feel like it is different every day. I will kind of just ask myself what thing excites me the most, obviously keeping in mind particularly like where I'm going that day, and then whichever item, like, oh, I really feel like wearing these pants today, or, oh, I haven't worn that shirt in a while, I really want to wear that shirt, and then whichever item I start with, I'll then start to match everything around it. Or sometimes I will intentionally not match things just to like see how it goes. Like I do like to try new things for a while. For the longest time I had like a bit of an OCD thing where I guess I heard someone say this once and then it got fixed forever in my brain, which is like you can't mix brown and black.
I think Eddie said that. Eddie
really?
Says that often.
Yeah, and yeah. I started experimenting with it lately, and I'm like, brown and black look great together. I don't know who said this.
Yeah, I feel like I could see, I don't know why when you said that, I was picturing like a woman in a lovely little black cocktail dress, but with like a brown belt and a brown leather bag.
I think you're specifically not supposed to mix brown and black leather. Like you wouldn't want to wear you wouldn't want to wear a brown leather belt with black leather shoes.
Okay, that's like, the no-no.
That's the no-no.
That
but
makes
like
sense.
If you're wearing like brown pants with black shoes or like brown pants with like a black leather jacket, that I have learned looks fine.
Sounds great to me.
I dig that. For me it's more I can't mix like Mickey Mouse with Star Wars. That's where I'm either one or the other.
It's the same company.
Now it is.
But it's different
but
worlds.
You're an OG fan.
I'm an OG fan.
Yeah.
Even though on my arm I break that rule.
You're not breaking any copyright laws for sure. Oh, what? That is
BB-8.
BB-8 wearing a Mickey hat.
So my ink does not follow the same rule. I love it. Okay, our next question. And actually, I feel like I know Kasha's answer on this as well, but I gotta know. I feel like we've had heated.
Is this about the TS?
It is. You ask it. I love that I said that we've had heated discussions about it, and you freaking knew exactly what I was talking about. Okay.
Now, am I asking like a yes or no, or
ask
the feelings?
Ask him a yes or no, and then we're gonna fight about it.
All right.
Hit me.
Yes or no?
Yes.
The top sheet.
Do you use a top sheet in your bed?
Do I use a top sheet?
Yeah,
yes.
Not just a fitted sheet, but then the sheet that goes on top of the fitted sheet and then blankets.
Yes.
Okay.
Fun fact, I have my top sheet going right now. It's a struggle, though.
I have my top sheet, but here's the thing. I do a really thorough job when I change my sheets to, like, tuck it in. And when I say thorough, I mean I try to make it look good. I don't think I'm good at it. It never looks good. And then, sure enough, one or two or three nights of me sleeping in these new sheets, it will have come completely untucked and will be a loose mess, and I'm not going to tuck it back in until I change my sheets. So the top sheet ends up everywhere. I'm a thrasher when I sleep.
Wow.
So like sometimes my sheets end up on the floor. Sometimes the duvet ends up on the floor.
I kick it.
My new girlfriend yelled at me yesterday because
top sheet.
Sometimes I don't top sheet, and it just pisses me off.
That feels like coming into your apartment in New York City and then leaving your shoes on and putting your shoes up on the coffee table and then eating food from that. Like the contaminants. Like I can't. Like if I don't have a top sheet. I can't sleep. I can't sleep unless I have showered before bed. Even a little hoe bath, even like a, you know, areas, like quick little wipe down.
I don't have to, but I've been doing the shower more lately because I'm getting older and stinkier, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. We get smellier as we age.
We do.
Which sucks.
Is that Is that real?
It certainly is for me.
I mean, I just feel like
I turned 30 last year, and I definitely feel like I am stinkier more often than I used to be.
Maybe this is why I'm so obsessed with my products, because I have a very sensitive nose, and I really can't when things aren't right.
Yeah. They also say, you know, I don't remember who told me this, but I heard this once, and it fascinated me. Apparently, sweat in and of itself does not smell bad. The thing that smells bad is, like, anxiety. That, like, anxiety, stress...
Interesting.
Difficult emotions, your body, I don't know, exudes some kind of
like an animal, like trying to defend, like if I smell bad enough, the thing that I'm worried about isn't going to come and touch me.
Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe it's a sign to other humans to be like, stay away from this one for a while because they've got bad energy.
Whoa.
I don't know. This is based
That's
on zero science. This is purely anecdotal.
I believe it.
Oh, so it's like most news today. Okay, I love that for us.
Yeah.
Now, our next question, and I'm one and Kasha is the other for our morning beverage.
Oh, yes.
Are you coffee?
Coffee.
Or tea?
Coffee.
Coffee. See, we're agreeing on a lot of these things, Kasha. I'm sorry. You might be voted off the island.
Wow. Well, I am a tea girl.
I wish I drank tea more often. I just had a lovely chai. I'll drink tea sometimes in the afternoon when I need some kind of caffeine boost, but I don't want something as serious as another coffee.
Yeah, and like it's not quite serious enough for cocaine.
Word.
Okay. Tea is a huge part of Polish culture, though. Like, we have tea in the evening, and it doesn't have to be necessarily...
It's a huge part of Polish culture, then why was I the one who had to break you from Lipton?
Well, that's a problem my dad and I have. But we do the Twinings now. We used to only drink Lipton, really.
I shamed it out of her.
I respect that. Honestly, I respect that.
Twinings, Bigelow, we do now. But Twinings is actually the one I have recently.
Celestial,
yes.
If you're feeling fancy.
Yes.
I love Twinings because that's what they sell.
You know, I don't really like that. Is that the Starbucks one?
Yeah, Tazo.
I don't like Tazo.
I don't like Tazo either. They're always putting lemongrass in their blends and blech.
Yeah.
Blech.
Lemongrass is good in a soup, but yeah, not tea.
Blech.
I love it. Oh my goodness. Okay. What is your comfort food? I'm excited.
Wait,
to hear
your
this.
Laugh was really great, and we have a huge thing in this podcast is laughter, and I think that there should just be random laughing sounds throughout.
Do you mean gahaws?
Gahaws? No, gahaw.
Party.
Gahaws. Gahaws.
I'm making...
gahaws. That's what you said. Gahaws.
I said gahaws.
Yes. Gahaws galore.
Exactly.
I love it.
Oreos.
Okay.
Oreos. Oreos.
When you open them, are you able to eat the number that you intend, or do you eat until you hit plastic?
I'm mostly pretty good. I get the family size pack that has like the three
that is bold.
Sleeves, and I usually can contain myself to eating one sleeve in a sitting.
Okay.
Every once in a while, I'll have like a sleeve and a half, but I do understand on some level that I'm screwing myself, because if I eat a sleeve and a half, it means the next night I either will have to eat another sleeve and a half, or I will only eat
yeah.
half a sleeve, and that I can't have that.
Yeah.
No.
So
maybe family pack is the way. Like, I have never been brave enough to get a family pack because I eat until there's plastic. I will feel nauseous, and I'll be like, but there's five cookies left. I don't. Leave
when I'm comfort
behind.
Eating Oreos. I eat them in a very specific way.
Yes, I was going to ask you, what is the way you eat your Oreos?
Full two glasses, one that is full of milk.
Whole milk?
Whole milk, babe.
I love it.
Yeah, whole milk.
Wow.
And then
my pants.
One glass that is whole milk, a second glass that is like only halfway filled with milk that is specifically for dunking, because I
smart.
Don't want to drink the Oreo
residue
song.
Crumbs.
Yeah. I need one glass of pure white milk.
This is a new method I need to try. Yeah. This is very smart.
What is your method, Kasha?
I often get a glass of milk as well, but I fill it all the way to the top to have a lot of milk. And then I will dunk, but then sometimes I'll take ones and I open them up, eat the icing, put them back together, dunk again, eat it. I have different
Whoa.
Ways.
Oh, okay.
I specifically like take the Oreo, plunge it into the milk, hold onto it until the very last minute that
until
it gets
about to break into
it's really like
you really
a game
like
of chance.
Mushy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I live on the edge. And then I take it out and eat the whole cookie in one bite so that it just kind of like slides down your gullet.
I love that.
Yeah.
I had a friend in sixth grade who changed my life around Oreos.
Uh-huh.
We were at a sleepover at her house, and she was like, do you want some Oreos? And I'm like, yes, because I don't hate myself yet. So let's eat some Oreos. She gets us each like a glass of milk, and I'm just eating them like an idiot. And she starts putting them in the milk.
She's like, I'm about to change your life.
She just stacked like 5 or 6 Oreos just in the milk.
What?
Hands me a spoon. No, what? It's amazing. And then you just start eating the Oreos out of the milk with the spoon. By the time you get down to the 6th one, that bottom one, it is like the perfect mush.
It's like a cereal, it sounds.
I was
Oreo cereal. Yeah, it was like cereal.
I was going to scold this girl, but I think I might have to try that.
Same. Try it. Oh, Brittany, so you changed my life.
She takes a stack of 5 or 6 and just places them in a cup with milk?
You know what? She
or does she put
even,
a bowl of milk?
No, this was in a glass.
A glass of
milk.
Well,
I mean, we were in 6th grade, so we weren't allowed to use the glasses, but we had those big old, I think it was like pink plastic cups.
Didn't it overflow? Or she portioned it out.
Now I'm wondering if maybe she did the Oreos first and then poured the milk on top, or maybe she had done it. I cannot remember the exact science of how to do it, but now looking, if I were to do it myself, I don't really do this because of my lactose intolerance, and you know, probably in our first episode we will share like the main reason why I take my lactose intolerance
a
little bit
more
seriously.
You like coffee, yes?
Oh yes.
Have you ever dunked Oreos in coffee? That will change your life.
Oh my God.
Like coffee with milk though, right?
I mean, like if it's creamer. Almond milk or it's soy milk, we'll allow it, but you know.
I use like the fakest, like I'm gonna get a disease from, like whatever that coffee mate, like hazelnut.
Don't you drink it black sometimes too though?
I do drink coffee.
Wait,
black
is that
sometimes.
That has cream milk in it, doesn't it, or does it not?
They have a
is that
dairy
just pure chemical?
So I can dabble. I can't like a full-on glass of whole milk. No, you
sure.
Won't see me for a
wait
days.
I have to share a fun fact. So my mom didn't drink coffee until she was 40.
Okay.
And only did tea, and so my life may change when I'm 40. I just want everyone to know.
Wonderful.
I'm going to say...
Tastes change.
I think you were playing a little fast and loose with the word fun there on that fact. It was a fact. It was an interesting fact. I love you.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Cool story. You should tell them on first dates.
Well, I'm curious if I will someday like coffee. I don't think I will, though.
You know what?
So...
It was a curiosity.
I'm a big believer in acquiring tastes.
Mm.
I'm a big fan of the idea of like people think so much that they know what they like, and I'm like, you don't know what you like.
Yeah,
you really don't.
Try everything.
Doesn't it change every 5 years?
Seven.
Every 7
your taste
years?
Buds change. Your skin changes. Everything changes.
You start smelling bad. Like wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the world's ending anyway, so that's fine. You know, we've all played Desert Island. Like, if you only had one book you could read, if you
only had one food,
whatever.
Yeah.
I want to know, you're stranded on a desert island with a Walkman.
Ooh.
What book on tape are you bringing with you?
Oh, that's really tough.
It is.
A book on tape.
A book on tape.
On a Walkman.
On a Walkman. It's going to be like Star-Lord.
Relic of the past.
Gosh, do you know what yours would be?
It might be The Secret History by Donna Tartt. I haven't read that in so long, and I read it in high school, and it was one of my favorite books always. Mm. Have you guys ever read Donna Tartt?
I don't. I might have.
She's fantastic.
I couldn't even remember the name of the movie that I watched every single day for an entire summer. My brain does weird things. Mine is The Phantom Tollbooth, by the way.
I don't think I've ever read that, but I feel like I've heard of it.
Does it have to be something that exists, or can I make it up?
You can make it up.
Like, this is such a pretentious answer, but this is what just,
I can't wait.
This is what just occurred to me.
We're interviewing someone from Juilliard. We had to anticipate a couple of pretentious answers.
I feel like I would want an audio recording of like a collection of the world's most famous poems.
Oh my God.
As read by like, I don't know, like Ian McKellen or something.
Ooh.
Like that. Like some one of those like old amazing English actors.
Yeah.
Just like, or maybe a collection of them, but like a collection of the world's most famous poems.
You were right. That was really pretentious.
Yeah.
But I love it, but I get it.
It's also very poetic.
Oh,
thank you. Well, I was just trying to think of like what has maximum replay value. Because I was like a non-fiction book would be boring. Any fiction book would eventually, I would get so tired of it. Mm-hmm. Shakespeare won't translate well to, because like a complete works of Shakespeare is always my go-to for like, if you could only bring three books or one book, mm-hmm. I'm always like complete works of Shakespeare. But audio, I feel like that doesn't go quite as well. And then I was like, oh, but poetry, that would.
Poetry.
You get a couple of the world's greatest poems. You can hear them 1,000 times and get new things out of them each time.
I love that.
Have you done a lot of Shakespeare as an actor? What's your favorite show?
What is my favorite Shakespeare play?
Play, yeah.
I really like Measure for Measure. I like the problem plays. Those are my favorite ones. Like Measure for Measure, Merchant of Venice, Much Ado About Nothing.
Mm.
Like
my favorite is Something Rotten on Broadway.
Yeah.
I actually haven't seen it.
Oh my goodness, that was so great. Omelet.
Let's make an omelet, right?
You make wine from sour grapes. You got a flat pancake. Hey, call it a crepe when life gives you eggs. Make an omelet.
It's our next. Okay, the first TV show that made an impact on you. Maybe it wasn't your favorite. Maybe it wasn't the first one that you ever saw, but the first one that when you think back, you're like, yeah, that show, that program, it mattered.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the first, but it's certainly the first and most significant one that came to mind, which is Scrubs.
Really?
I was a massive Scrubs head. That show came out when I was in middle school, or it had already been going for a little bit when I was in middle school. I just remember, like, I would watch those reruns constantly, and I bought the DVD box set for all 3-4 seasons. I really identified with JD, with Zach Braff's character, mm-hmm. like on a personal level. I just was like, oh my god, I relate so much. And I feel like Sarah Chalk on that show was like part of my sexual awakening. Like I love that show so much, and like how JD relates to Dr. Cox as like a father figure and a mentor, and that kind of like brand of tough love, but that is also laced with like, I can't help but like you. Like I just it informed, I feel like it, I underestimate how much it informed, and I loved that show so much. And I only discovered like a year ago that it's the same showrunner who created Ted Lasso. The same showrunner who created Shrinking.
Oh, so good.
Which are also shows I love, and it makes perfect sense. I'm like, I can totally see the through line.
I've never given Scrubs a chance, and now I think I might have to.
What I will say about Scrubs, because I recently, after learning that about Ted Lasso and Shrinking, I went back and watched Scrubs.
Did it not age well?
It's great. It still really holds up in terms of like what the show is about, and you can actually really see, you can see the Ted Lasso and the Shrinking like buried within the Scrubs. Uh-huh. I will say that it is littered with a bunch of like sexual humor that has not aged well.
Oh, okay.
But it's not like How I Met Your Mother bad.
Okay.
That show I rewatched recently and was like,
rewatching How I Met Your Mother, and I'm like,
it's an abomination.
How I learned to rape people's future mothers. Like, it's so bad.
It's really bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
That show has aged horrendously, and we all loved it. Yeah. Like, as a country, we loved that show.
Yeah,
Scrubs is great. And also, funnily enough, I've heard doctors describe Scrubs as being like, this is the show that got it the most right in terms of what it feels like to actually be a doctor. Because doctors all have to kind of create senses of humor because they're dealing with such horrible stuff all day. So they're silly.
Oh, is that why we're funny?
Because you're dealing with horrible stuff all day?
No, dealing with parents just is children. Great. We love it. So your favorite teacher grades K through 12.
Wow.
Ooh, my favorite teacher's grades K through 12.
Just one. Which one was your favorite from those years? Not talking like college professors or anything like that. I was just watching like the Adele clip where she was like accepting some award, and someone was like, did you know your elementary teacher is in the audience? And everyone's crying, and I'm like, oh my god.
I just saw that too, literally yesterday.
I love it.
Bill Sweeney. Mr. Sweeney. He was never my professor, but he was the head of the drama department at my high school. And I remember, like, he does this thing every year for Halloween where he goes to the kindergartners and he reads them the story of the Headless Horseman.
Great. And so I, like, traumatizing a new generation.
Totally.
Every year.
Totally.
Love that.
Totally. And I have a, maybe he doesn't do it anymore, but I have a vivid memory of him telling that story. And
when you were in kindergarten?
When I was in kindergarten and just being like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
And like being completely enamored with him as a human being. Uh-huh. He had this like iconic, incredibly bushy mustache. And he like, when you would catch him coming into school and leaving school, he would be wearing a leather jacket. Mm. Like he had very much a like, this is a fancy prep school, but like I'm not playing by your stupid rules kind of vibe.
Okay.
And he would produce weird plays. I mean, he would do the middle school plays, which is how I got into acting, and we would do all boys productions. So I got really caught the acting bug when I got cast as Kate in Taming of the Shrew.
Love that.
And I was like, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. And like we were wearing, me and the other boys who were playing girls were like in these very colorful kind of like sassy
Wait,
trench
it was
coats.
Drag with children?
Yes.
Is that appropriate?
Totally.
Do you hear my sarcasm tone? Please, please, everyone who's listening, we produce family-friendly drag bingo and drag shows. We've been doing it since 2011, and it wasn't a problem until 2016, which is so weird. I can't imagine what happened that year that would have awoken the bigot within so many people.
Your daily reminder.
Truly.
That drag is art.
Drag is art. So this, we, as I was creating the questions, everyone was in the room, and John actually came up with this question. What would be your death row meal?
Here's my, so how many items do I get?
You get one, like, let's picture like a school, like a cafeteria tray. So there's like a big, maybe like three littles.
Okay.
And a beverage.
That's great.
Okay. Maybe a dessert.
Okay.
Wow.
And a beverage.
And a beverage.
Okay. So my answer is very simple. In the big, I would just want as many Montauk Pearl oysters as you can fit.
Whoa.
Just like a ton of.
Fancy.
Just fresh oysters. No lemon, no sauce, no whatever. Just like
no mignonette.
No mignonette. Just
no horseradish.
No.
Dry.
No. Just I just love the raw.
I don't know that I would describe oysters.
Well,
as
not.
Dry.
I mean like no sauce.
Yeah,
and more like loogies.
And then in the sides, I think I would just want like a lot of shoestring French fries.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And champagne.
Fancy as. Dinner.
What's your dessert?
Oreos.
A cup full of Oreos. Yes, I was just going to say Oreos.
Then you have to have milk too. We'll let you.
Oh, of course.
We'll let you.
Yeah.
When we kill you after this. I'm just kidding.
Oh my goodness. We are down to the 10th and final question of the interview. I want to know a song that described you when you were 10, a song that described you when you were 20, and a song. Are you 30 yet?
I turned 30. Yeah, I'm 31.
Okay, and a song to describe you at 30. You may pick three different songs, one for your 10-year-old self, one for your 20-year-old self, one for your 30-year-old self.
That describes me.
Yeah, like, at that age.
These are hard questions.
These are hard questions.
You're welcome. I'm smartest when I've procrastinated. Did you just spill water on the equipment? Oh my goodness. Kasha almost just got us kicked out of LTV Studios.
No,
this podcast is being recorded at LTV Studios in Waynescott. You should support your local public access, everything. Support local right now because
we need it.
Ain't nobody else supporting it.
The first song that pops into my head as like, what was the song I was listening to the most at that age?
Which is kind of what I want.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And the answers are more embarrassing, so that'll
I
be better.
I really
yes,
love that.
Yes, make
okay.
us laugh.
Make them laugh. Make them laugh.
Okay. So 10, I remember having an iPod mini, like a baby blue iPod, or whatever that was, whichever brand of
Nano?
iPod. No, it wasn't a Nano.
Was it skinny?
they were kind of chunky, and they were like, it was the first generation of iPods, I think, that came in multiple colors.
Oh, okay.
It was a really big deal. You could get them in like baby blue and pink and like lime green.
And you had baby blue.
And orange. I had baby blue.
Little Johnny had baby blue.
I think it was my first, it was my first iPod. And I don't even know if this was, the answer is, It Wasn't Me by Shaggy.
It wasn't me. Saw me kissing on the sofa. It wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
Yeah. I had no idea, surely had no idea what the song was actually about.
Right.
Yeah. Way inappropriate for a 10-year-old.
Yeah. But
a great chorus.
I loved that song. Just remember that was one of the songs on that iPod I played over and over and over and over again.
I love it. Okay, now let's fast forward to Juilliard.
Yeah.
What's Juilliard listening to?
All right, so I'm cheating a little bit, but I remember distinctly when I was 18 and leaving high school, one of my friends came over and was like on my was on my computer and was looking at my iTunes account, and like there was a setting on it that would show you your most played songs and would show you how many times you've listened to those songs. And they were making endless fun of me because number one was Only Girl in the World by Rihanna, to this day I maintain is like an absolute banger. Love that song.
I mean, anything by Rihanna is a banger.
Make you feel like I'm the only girl in the world. And then when the bass comes, like,
I said the wrong lyrics. Like I'm the only girl
in the world. Yeah, you definitely did.
I'm gahawing over here. Yeah.
So it's not quite Juilliard, but it was like around that time. So actually, this also ties back into the playing Kate in Taming of the Shrew, because that was a big year for me. All of my friends before I did that were like the jock types. I went to an all-boys school. They were all jock sporty types. And then once I was the girl in the school play, those friends were not my friends anymore. Like
they sound like real class acts.
They all basically disowned me.
Isn't it nice when people self-sort?
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks at the time, but then you look back and you're like, yeah, I didn't really need that energy in my life.
Yeah, dodged a bullet for sure. But so I became friends with all these like theater kids, and like all my closest friends in high school were gay, and they all had amazing taste in music. But they, along with their amazing taste in music, came this like deeply ironic love of like girl pop, and I have hung on to that through all of my adult life. I love like the most basic top 40 girl pop. Like something like lights up inside me when I hear Sabrina Carpenter, when I hear like
Chapel Rowan.
Yes. Yes. Like I love what that kind of music does.
Britney Spears.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
That. Yeah. Was...
Yeah. No. No, we listened to it actually high school too.
Steal It With a Kiss. High school time. He's younger than us.
I guess that's not really your time.
No, our high school was like Britney's comeback with like Steal It With a Kiss and Toxic and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We had the original. I love it. What is 30-year-old John like listening to?
The latest girl bop song that I was really into was
Femininomenon. Thank you. Femininomenon.
Let me mansplain to you. It's Anita. It's actually Femininomenon.
When I first heard that song, I was trying to tell Joe about it, and he was like, "It should be called." And I was like, "Don't finish that sentence." I was like, "I might be mispronouncing it, but don't even try to say it should be called something else." Yeah. He was like, "Well, I was just saying, no.
It's Pink Pony Club."
Pink Pony Club. I'm gonna keep on dancing at the pink.
Oh my god, yes!
Pink Pony Club, Espresso, mm-hmm. Please, Please, Please. I didn't get as into Charlie XCX, but I Sabrina Carpenter and Chapel Rowan. And but the one song that sticks out, it's a great banger.
Oh, I love that. Oh my goodness. Well, that brings us to the end of our wild list of questions. I feel like I know you so much better now.
Do you?
Same.
Yes. Yes, I love it. And we had some good gahas.
We laughed.
We had some guffaws. We had some gahees and some gahas. And I love it. We definitely shut up. We definitely laughed. Love it. I love it so much. Thank you so much, John, for being part of this.
Thank you for having me.
Wild whatever we're about to do with this. I love it.
Yeah, and if you didn't laugh,
at least you shut up.
We're working on our taglines here.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Shut Up, Laugh. We can't wait to bring you even more from more members of our community and beyond. Be sure to follow us on social media, Instagram at Shut Up Laugh. I believe there's underscores between all of those words. Who knows? Find us. You'll see us there. Anyway, we hope you have a wonderful day and that you continue to keep fighting the good fight. Support your local public media. And remember to shut up, laugh. That's a really horrible tagline. Anyway, we're working on it. Bye.
Hi, I'm Gianna Volpe, and you can catch me on Shut Up, Laugh.
Hi, my name is Kate Havlicek, and you can catch me on Shut Up and Laugh.
Hi, I'm Corey Urania. Catch me on the podcast Shut Up and Laugh.
Hey, everybody, it's Monty Farber. I'm going to be on the Shut Up and Laugh podcast.